Hello, welcome to this Hoop Collective low post crossover following game four of the NBA Finals, won by the Golden State Warriors 107-97 to even the series at 2-2. And Zach, we had a classic tonight from Steph Curry. You mocked me when I mentioned LeBron James.
Oh, no, don't.
What?
You did it again.
You're damn right I'm going to do it again, because Steph went 40-10 tonight. Who was the last guy to go 40-10? In the finals, I believe it was LeBron James. This is the exact type of game that I felt that the Warriors needed from Steph. He had to be great. He had been very good. Game three was pretty great, but he had to be special. That's what was needed to win this game, just like LeBron gave his Cavs team. I just did it again. Just like LeBron gave his Cavs team special performances against the Warriors when they needed them, Curry went into that mode. For the first time in his career, he had to go into that mode in a finals game. He didn't have the kind of star support that he's had in other playoffs, other finals. He's got to be the supernova. That's what we saw. A lot of other things happened, but that's the major takeaway.
Steph Curry, who's walking by us right now, He's got a lot of other people to acknowledge.
He's got a wrap
on his knee. This is a remember that you were at the game by Steph Curry. 14 of 26, 7 of 14 from 3. And with a couple of exceptions, I thought Boston's defense was like, okay. He made some absolutely insane shots. Like these pick and rolls, whether it's Horford or Rob Williams, Horford was up higher every time tonight, yeah, except maybe one or two. Rob was fine. Like, they're 2 feet. Both their feet are above the three-point arc. His guy is getting over the screen, and he's got these little teensy slivers of space where he can, like, barely fit his body, and he rises up and hits three after three.
Zach, that's who he is.
No, but these are – this is the best defensive team by far in the NBA.
Yeah, I agree.
These are crazy shots, and he's just hitting them over and over again against – like largely pretty good defense. There was one in the first half where Jaylen Brown tried to go under the screen and do the thing where you spin around the screen or you get your back on him, and he recovered like half a second later than he would have had he chased over the screen, and Al had come out really far and retreated at the moment where he thought it would be safe to retreat, had Jaylen Brown going over the pick, and that half a second was all Steph needed to shoot a three. I don't want to hear anymore. The great myth of the last 10 years of the NBA is that Steph has underperformed in the finals. He's averaging 27-6-6 for his career in the finals. He's been fine. He's had some supernova games. He's had some and games. That's called being a normal NBA player, NBA star facing the best defenses of the NBA. There are minimum 2 games, maximum 3 games left in this series. Everyone gets higher leverage from here. Let's see what happens. He hasn't had a meh shooting game yet. Usually has one in every 7-game series. But this game, with their season on the line and no other star support, you got good support from Clay, Wiggins, Poole came alive, but no like great performance.
Well,
this
Wiggins
game,
had one of the best games of his career.
We're going to talk about Wiggins. This game, I don't want to hear anymore, what is the legacy? Oh, my God, the finals MVP. Oh, Steph in the finals, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to hear it anymore.
That's why he had to do it, Zach. And I'm going to say something else. He took 26 shots. He should have taken 30.
No, we're not doing that.
Yes, he's going to have to shoot. He's going to have to take shots like this for them to win 2 more games. I don't know if he's going to shoot as effectively as this. I mean, where he was 2 of 8 on threes in the first half. He was hot in the second half.
By the way, he has a foot injury.
I don't know.
But look, he's got something.
He just had a wrap on his knee just a second ago. But I think Al Horford fell on him and it scared him. And because it was the foot that it was previously hurt, I don't think he was that badly dinged up. But what do I know? It's not my foot. If you want to sell he's got a foot injury after this performance, I wish you luck on that. But I don't believe he can play better than this, but I believe he can shoot more than this. And Boston's going to have to consider what they want to do in terms of their defense, and if they want to continue to play that way, if they want to think about trapping. A big thing that's going to come out in the next 24 to 48 hours here, Zach. Robert Williams came out of the game in the fourth quarter, asked out after retweaking that knee injury, and they didn't finish the game.
And he was massive for them, particularly in the first half. I had a Celtic staffer come up to me at halftime and say, Rob has maybe been our best player, period, in the first half of the game.
Now, not only was he massive, but you could just tell he was feeling really good. Just feeling really, really good. Like, you know, just not only just being good, but just being super active. So I think that, you know, getting that report and when, you know, how he feels and the treatment and whatever, that's going to be huge. And something else that happened, I wasn't thinking that Steve Kerr was having the greatest coaching series of his career, if I could put it kindly. I didn't like the lineups he deployed in game one. I didn't like the minute distributions he was having through games two and three. And I really, really didn't like that he started the lineup tonight without Kevon Looney in it. And then in the fourth quarter, he did something very gutsy with 8 minutes or so to play or something.
What's
like
up,
that.
Coach? How you doing? He's
Hi,
waving.
Steve
Kerr's waving us. Hello.
You know, it's not normal that I'm talking about somebody and he walks past me. I'm going to say that right now. I feel like you were setting something up there, like, you know, I was talking, potentially criticizing him, and he was walking past me, and you were
trying. I kind of wanted him to come right over and answer your criticism to your face.
Well, I mean, he's already done his media session. He said hello. That's all we're going to get. Anyway, I was about to say he did a very gutsy thing, in my opinion, with, was it 6 or 7 minutes to go? He took Draymond out of the game.
About 8 minutes, yeah. And he kept him out for about five.
And the Warriors were down five at that point. And they went plus eight over the next 5 minutes, got leverage in the game. And then he went offense, defense for a while with Draymond. In fact, at one point, with over 3 minutes left, he called a timeout to take Draymond out of the game to run an offensive play. Have you seen offense, defense with 3 minutes to go in a game before?
I have, not with a player of Draymond Green's caliber
and
resume. And it was the right move.
And by the way, it then worked. Draymond made several impactful plays after that when he brought him back in. That was a solid, gold, gutsy maneuver. Now, it may have helped, obviously, that Robert Williams was taken out. Solid, gold, guts maneuver. Because Draymond was pissed. He was pissed. I haven't heard Draymond's post-game press conference yet. It hasn't even happened.
Or the podcast. By the way, the media, we're so bad. We're so bad at this, Wendy. Like, any excuse we can have as a collective, not the Hoop Collective.
How dare you?
To talk about something other than basketball, we will take. So, like, I was listening to the radio to and from NBA today. I don't like to repeat today, but whatever. It's all the fans chanting F you, Draymond, and Draymond's podcast. And is it good? Is it bad? Does it matter? It's like, any excuse, this is just an aside, not us ESPN, us sitting here. It's just like the podcast became like Draymond Green's podcast instead of the basketball was like the biggest story of the finals for 24 hours.
Yeah, I don't care.
I don't care either.
Keep podcasting. He's getting great pub for it. So it'll be a lot of listens to it tomorrow. So the Celtics, one of their Achilles heels, by the way, we're checking the dials. 16 turnovers for the Celtics. 16 turnovers. That's the red line, sir. And only 6 assists for Jason Tatum. That's what we call condition gold. When they have under 15 turnovers and Jason Tatum has over 7 assists, that's condition green. Tonight, it was condition gold, and that contributed to why they only scored 97 points. Jason Tatum, Marcus Smart, and Jaylen Brown combined to miss 35 shots in this game. That is why they only scored 97 points. I'm sure there are Celtics fans cursing the officials as they go down Causeway Street outside right now.
Oh, man. It was, as the kids say, lit by like 3 p.m. I mean, it was a Friday. Short work
gorgeous day, weather,
sunshine out, bars were packed. I mean, it was, I'm like a little afraid to walk home tonight.
So here's the thing, Zach, the bars close at 2 here, okay? So
no, they close at midnight.
No, they close at 2.
Not this is Boston, man. The Puritans still run this city.
Sir, the bars close at 2.
Really?
I am very aware of this because if you ain't out of by the way, it's about to turn midnight, and I still got to write tonight. You ain't out of this building by 2 o'clock, you're going to have problems. That's all I'm going to say.
Look, okay, so you mentioned the turnovers and condition green, condition gold, whatever.
You're mocking me.
We can talk about some of the stuff Boston did poorly if you want. I think Golden State took this game.
Oh, yeah.
More than Boston gagged it away.
Let's not, I mean, second half, Jason Tatum, 2 of 9. Marcus Smart, 5 of 12. Jaylen Brown, 4 of 11.
And we'll talk about what went into those numbers. But I thought Curry's shot making, outstanding Golden State defense. And I want to spotlight that stretch you just talked about when they took Draymond out of the game. Jaylen Brown gets the unconventional two-man and one. When Marcus Smart got pushed in the back, right? Remember, it was a steal and one. Smart shoots the free throw. Jaylen hits the layup. 91-86. Timeout Warriors. They come out of the timeout.
That's when he benched Draymond.
Yes. Klay Thompson hits a really tough turnaround two to get it back to 3. After that, it's 2 Wiggins putbacks. And Andrew Wiggins had how many rebounds? 13? 14?
No. He had
15.
I believe he had 16 rebounds.
I can just look this up on the box score that I have. 16 rebounds and 17 points.
And not only was that a career high, he had a career. His career high before tonight was 13. He had 3 more than his career high in a road finals game.
And the second one of those two came after Marcus Smart hit a 3 at the buzzer of the shot clock.
It was a massive shot.
To put them up 94-90. My point is, that Jaylen Brown and one and the Smart 3 felt like not quite gut punch shots because there was too much time left in the game.
You're right.
But shots that you remember afterwards because the home team won.
You wrote them down on your paper. And you highlighted them. I can see.
Klay answered with one tough 2. Wiggins answered with a couple of offensive rebounds. And then if you want to point out, I think, where Boston was a little iffy in this game. It wasn't necessarily the turnovers. I thought they rushed some shots all throughout the game. I thought they were a little kind of, I was going to say skitterish, which is not a word.
You can all allow.
Jittery and skittish combined
all out.
Make skitterish. I like that, skitterish. And I thought that was going a little too soon and sometimes attacking the Warriors' best defenders when they could have easily worked one more screen to get a switch. And so an example of that right in this sequence was Jaylen Brown on a pick and roll, I think to get Poole or Curry, has Klay Thompson on him, rejects the pick instead of using it. So Klay stays on him with like 4.5 minutes to go. Jaylen misses like a wild floater leaning to his left. Klay falls over in the chaos. Boston doesn't match up correctly, and Klay jogs back for a trail 3 to give them the lead. Klay and Wiggins with those baskets in that stretch you're talking about to give them back the lead gave Steph a few minutes of, like, you don't have to do everything. And Klay's defense on Jaylen Brown was good enough that when they brought Draymond back in the game, they put Draymond on Smart and kept Klay Thompson on Jaylen Brown. I thought it was a gutty, tough performance by Klay. Not a crazy shooting game.
No.
But I thought and that turnover he forced on the backdoor cut late in the game was a good example of that.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop by. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So who's ever up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. I appreciate all of that analysis. Here's mine. Jason Tatum was terrible. By his standards in this kind of situation, because really the Celtics win this game, they've got the series.
Because, oh, the series is over.
Yeah. So Jason Tatum, home situation. I mean, I'm not questioning him as a big game player. He's got a bunch of big game players, but he came into this game shooting 34%, and he goes 8 of 23.
8 of 23, 4 of 8 on three, so 4 of 15 on
his,
twos.
In his second half, Zach, his second half was not good. I mean, I know that's not tremendous analysis, but 2 of 9, he had 2 turnovers. He did have 2 blocks, but he cannot have a 7-point second half in a game like this. Just can't have it. And he was doing what he normally does, which is get in, and he was setting up teammates, and they weren't hitting shots. And again, that's why his assists are, a barometer, not only the way he's playing, but the way the whole team is playing, because he obviously had way more assist chances than the 6 that he had. But Jason Tatum did not deliver the type of performance that was needed in this game.
Yeah, I mean, look, 23, 11, and 6, but 6 turnovers, and again, the 8 of 23. Got to give some credit to the Warriors.
There was a stat that he was this youngest player, Sports and Information had this, one of the youngest players of all time to have 20 and 10 in a finals game, and that will make you think that it was a good performance, but it was not.
It was a C-plus performance, grading on a curve.
I think you're being kind.
Well, great. You know what I'm doing? I'm grading on a curve that recognizes this is the finals, and the Warriors are the number 2 defense in the league, and like they can make stuff hard for you. And the NBA numbers are not in yet, but the cleaning the glass numbers paint the Warriors having an average offensive game or an average offensive efficiency, and the Celtics having a terrible offensive efficiency, which kind of checks with the score and the eye test was. But those are the early numbers. One thing I really liked that Boston did was, and I wonder how all in they'll go on this in game 5. We're on to game 5, 2-2. Okay, we're on to game 5. They used whoever Curry was guarding and Poole was guarding to set all kinds of off-ball screens. Instead of going all pick and roll, they set flare screens, pin down screens for Tatum and Brown, and putting the Warriors in positions where you either have to make the switch you don't want to make and make it off the ball in motion when the Celtics are on the move, or those guys are going to get open because you're going to be chasing them over screens or shooting the gap to get under. Jaylen Brown got a 4-point play out of that. They both got kind of rumbling floaters in the lane when their guys tried to meet them under the picks. I thought that was really smart, and it worked. And when they had that kind of process in mind, they generally got good shots. Some they missed, some they made. When they went away from that and just kind of drove wildly at what I would say are the wrong guys, they got out of control.
They were out of control just in general in the fourth quarter. And then, by the way, there were 7 of 21 shooting in the fourth quarter. Of their 21 shots, 13 were three-pointers. And, I mean, that's not at the end of the world this day and age, but
no.
They were not getting good. That many of those were good looks. And I just think, one of the weaknesses of this Celtics team is that they have not been good in crunch time. And they got absolutely flattened in crunch time. I think when the game was in crunch time tonight and it moved in and out in the fourth quarter, but in crunch time, when the game was within 5 points, within 5 minutes, it was 15 points Warriors, 0 points Celtics. I mean, that's on your home floor, Zach. I mean, if you're looking for a... If you're a Celtics fan, you're looking for a reason why this isn't the end of the world that you just lost, the home court advantage. I would say that fourth quarter performance, even with the things that Golden State did, that was an outlier performance.
28 to 19 in the fourth for the Warriors. And out of control, a good indication of out of control is not just the rush drives and all that. I think Smart took 2 pull-up threes in the second half, or maybe both of them were in the fourth quarter. I want 0 pull-up threes for Marcus Smart. A Marcus Smart pull-up three with anything more than like 3 on the shot clock is a sign that something has gone a little haywire. And 2 of those 13 threes you just mentioned were Smart rapid-fire misses. The second one was off an offensive rebound, and they were just okay shots. Horford got a drive-and-kick 3 from Tatum, but it was like drive and kick out of not really much help. Looney contested it pretty well. Tatum got one like that with Wiggins contesting it pretty well. They just weren't cracking the defense as well as they were when they were running their best stuff.
One of the other stat indicators for the Celtics throughout the playoffs is when Marcus Smart scores over 18 points. I didn't like it as much as the Tatum assist stat, so I haven't talked about it. But the Celtics had been 8-0 in the postseason when Smart scored at least 18 points. He had 18 points tonight, but he took 18 shots.
Yep.
Nice. And there were times in the fourth quarter where Tatum and Jaylen couldn't find a look, and Marcus was like, okay, if you don't want to shoot it, I will. And I just don't think, you know, in the fourth quarter you want Marcus Smart as the guy that you're going heavy with. I think he's a changeup at that point, not a lead dog. And when they go back and watch the film, I think they're going to see some possessions and say,
and
wow.
I think even White had a few wild drives that I didn't love early in the shot clock.
He was 2 of 7 in the second half.
That resulted in misses and a few turnovers. I do think the Warriors defense was really good, and Looney has been just outstanding defensively around the basket, making the Celtics think. He's going to come for the shot. Is he going to stay home? Is he going to try and get the rebound? Obviously, Robert Williams burned him a few times in the first half with putbacks. Draymond, I thought, was solid. Klay and Wiggins were really good. Hats off to Klay, who's just tough as hell. By the way, cleaning the glass, I'm looking at the numbers now. Shout out Ben Falk. What's up? Has this as an, interestingly, despite the fact that the Warriors had a decent offensive game, average-ish, cleaning the glass has them awful in the half court. Just neck and neck with Boston, both awful. I don't know exactly what they count as half court and transition, but it does make you remember a lot of the Steph threes were like first action over half court. A lot of the Klay threes, and they did really well running Klay off pin downs from whoever the Celtics centers were guarding, because they do not want to switch their centers out on Steph and Klay. And a lot of that was early in the shot clock when the Celtics were kind of backpedaling and trying to get set. Klay got a couple of good threes, got untracked a little bit out of that. I would love to see. I don't have the transition number in front of me, but it shows you that like early clock target the right guys for the Warriors. They got good shots, and Poole showed up. Like Poole's got a Perk has been big on TV this week about Poole can't play in the series, and I get why. Defensively, they're going to go at him all the time. I just think they don't have choices. He needs to be able to score for them to win.
By the way, you're wanting to know why the Warriors graded out poorly in half court? Because they're not a good half-court offensive team. That's why Steph should take more shots. And again, tonight, you know, I agree that turnovers weren't the defining situation for the Celtics, but they gave up 19 points off turnovers. Give up 107 points, and 19 of them come off turnovers. You can't help them. And Tatum, who you're giving a C+, God bless you, had 6 of them.
I was an easy teacher when I was a high school teacher.
Were you really?
Oh, yeah. Partly because I had no idea what I was doing, and I was completely disorganized and unqualified, so it's just easier to be easy. You know? Just no one should have hired me to be a teacher at age 24. It was a disaster. I feel bad for those children, some of whom have actually turned out to be okay, but I was.
And they all respected you, though. They all respected you.
They still call me Mr. Lowe when they see me. You're like 4 years younger
unkind.
Than me. Can you not call me Mr. Lowe? That's a past life.
One more thing before I think we should wrap up here soon. Again, I'm going to speak about Jason Tatum's not great night. I don't know if it was 3 or 4 possessions, but he was getting, I don't know if I want to say locked up, but he was having difficulty with Nemanja Bjelica in the second half of this game.
He got his pocket picked once. Was it Tatum whose pocket he picked? You picked somebody's pocket near half court.
Nemanja Bjelica, God bless him.
But, hey, man, the guy's smart and big, and he's not fast enough. And on one of them, Robert Williams was under the rim, and Tatum couldn't get by him, and he just kind of had to settle for a floater or a turnaround, and they took Robert Williams out and put Horford in to space the floor better. But, yeah, look, all the calls for Kuminga, Moody, nope. Kerr stuck with Bjelica for 9 minutes. He survived. And I think now 5 games in, we're starting to get closer to the point where the teams, both in what they run and who they play – and who they target, are starting to coalesce into what will be the final versions of themselves in this series. And part of that is Kerr signaling today, even when he made a starting lineup change, Kuminga didn't play, Moody didn't play, Iguodala essentially hasn't played since game one other than some defensive possessions and garbage time in game 3. Tice hasn't played in 2 games. Things are tightening up.
Yeah.
Teams are settling on the lineups they want to play and
what
they want to
run. He played Looney more minutes and Draymond less. That was also a good decision. They should stay that way. I'll be interested to see if he sticks with this starting lineup with Otto Porter in game five, because I don't think it worked. But I guess it did enable him to finish the game with Looney, which he hadn't been doing.
Yeah, so. Draymond did get 8 assists, 9 rebounds, and 4 steals. I would like to rewatch those 8 assists later.
Well, I'm going to tell you about the fourth quarter with Draymond, because Draymond did a lot of his damage after he had a very effective few minutes there. By the way, I think Draymond shouldn't shoot. People have talked about, he's kind of turning into Ben Simmons. No, Ben Simmons won't shoot. Draymond shouldn't shoot. Those are two different things. In the fourth quarter, Draymond played 7 minutes, okay? He got benched for 5 of them. And in the 7 minutes he was on the court, he had 5 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal. He did his best work in the fourth quarter, particularly after that last 3 minutes after he got benched. That worked. And maybe they will dispute the verb benched, but that's the way I saw it.
We should probably wrap up with Curry. Let's just go back to where we started, because I feel like we just need to reemphasize how special that was.
And Zach, he's going to need to keep doing this to win this series. I'm not saying he needs to keep scoring 43. He's going to have to keep doing this. He needs to shoot even more. He was averaging 22 shots. The Warriors are averaging 105.5 points in this series. They need more points. He needs to shoot even more.
This is the first time the Warriors have been in the finals. You mentioned this is the first time maybe they've been an underdog last time we did this. It's definitely the first time they feel so rickety and uncertain at times that Steve Kerr is not sure who to play and is mixing and matching lineups, some of which have very little offensive firepower around him. Klay has had 2 good games in a row, not a great game. Wiggins has had good games, not an insane game. What Steph Curry is doing tonight in that circumstance, on the road against a hostile crowd in a game they absolutely had to win. There was no way they were beating this team 3 times in a row. They knew that, I think. And to put up 43 on 14 of 26 shooting and absolutely carry them. And they were behind most of the first half, again won the third quarter. I just thought, I don't know where that ranks in all-time Curry playoff games. We're doing this off the top of my head. I haven't had any research. There's a chance this is the best playoff game or most impactful playoff game he's ever played, considering the stage.
I think his second 40-point finals game, could that be? It was the second 40-point playoff game. He's had more than one 40-point playoff game, right?
This is spur of the moment, man. Well, I don't have time to look it up.
Let me just say, I was not surprised.
I wasn't surprised either, but I just want to end by taking a moment to appreciate, like, that was a special, special game by a special, special guy who shouldn't really have anything left to prove, but in some quarters of the world, he does.
And tonight
was a,
to be clear,
all-time game.
He doesn't have to prove it. But if he wants his 4th ring, he has to win it like this.
And we're going back to San Francisco, game 5.
Well, I am.
I'm not. I'm skipping game 5. I'll be back for 6 and 7. Let's go 7, baby. Let's do it. Why not?
I think it's going to go 7. So, you know, by the way, the last thing I want to say, the Celtics are 4-6 off wins in the last 3 rounds. I'm sorry, 3-7. 3-7. How do you explain that puppy? That's a young team.
Number 1, great opposition. Number 2, turnovers and relative inexperience, and maybe feeling confident. I don't know. Yeah. This, like I said, the Warriors took this game. This was not a gag job. The Warriors took this game. Stephen Curry came in and listened to all the F Draymond. They booed Klay. How could you boo Klay Thompson? I actually thought it was kind of funny. Klay was the one who called out the Boston fans, and I was saying to Malika before the game, they still won't boo Klay because he's so lovable and he's come off these injuries, and the Boston fans are like, nah, it's Friday night. We're booing Klay.
As if you don't know about Boston fans. By the way, the environment in this arena the last 2 games was spectacular.
Well, there's a roadmap to 7, and there ain't nothing like a Game 7 of the NBA Finals. So you can wrap us up, and I hope we get there.
I will see you again in Game 6. It's always good when you haven't even left for the West Coast and you're on the East Coast and you know you're coming back to the East Coast. That'll always make you happy, but I am happy. I'm not complaining. And I will see you on game six, and I will talk to everyone else after game five. Who will my co-host be? I don't know. Tune in and find out.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.